Let's read together Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 13 and taking it right on through verse 17. Here we see the Pharisees and Herodians questioning the Lord. They were hoping to catch or trap him making a statement which would discredit him before the people or before the Roman authorities. Mark chapter 12 and verse 13. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it." So they brought it, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him. What are some background notes that will help us understand this event? In verse 13, the "they" there would be the Jewish leaders and authorities. Look back at chapter 11, verse 27, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. And here in verse 13, we read of the Pharisees and the Herodians. These were two different parties within Judaism at that time. The Pharisees were a religious party. They were the Orthodox Jews of the day. And the Herodians were a political party. They supported the Herods, who were in power in Palestine at that time. And since the Herodian dynasty received its authority from Rome, they in turn then supported Rome. Normally, the Pharisees and Herodians were poles apart when it came to political and religious issues. But here we see them joining forces against the Lord. Many times you'll experience that same opposition today. Your neighbors or the people you work with will be poles apart when it comes to welfare or health care or the environment, but you'll find they're united against you when it comes to your sharing of the gospel. Well, here we see the Pharisees and Herodians asking the Lord whether it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not. First of all, they approach him with insincere flattery to kind of set him up, there in verse 14. "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth." In other words, you don't play favorites or compromise the truth for any special group of people. Well, now that they think they've set him up, they ask their question, whether it was right to pay taxes to Caesar or not. They thought they had the Lord in a dilemma. If the Lord were to say, "Yes, pay your taxes to Caesar," then he would alienate most of the common people, which they wanted to happen, because the common people hated paying taxes to Rome. And right now, the common people supported the Lord. And the leaders feared the common people, as you can see in verse 12 of this chapter. They feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. If, on the other hand, the Lord answered, "No, don't pay your taxes to Caesar," then they could accuse him of rebellion and opposition to Rome and get him arrested. So they thought they had the Lord in a dilemma at this point, and now they wait for his answer. Well, the Lord saw through their evil plans and said to them, "Why do you test me?" Now, you would think the Lord would have walked away at this point. But he stays and he does give them an answer. In fact, the Lord gives an amazing and wonderful answer here. He asks them to show him a denarius, or Roman tribute penny. This is what was required of every person in order to pay the poll tax. I'm holding one of these Roman tribute pennies, or a denarius, in my hand right now. You can look at it later. On the front side, it has the image and inscription of Caesar, an indication that ultimately it belonged to Caesar. So the Lord asked them, "Whose image and inscription is on this coin?" forcing them to acknowledge that it was Caesar's. Then the Lord said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." What an amazing answer. They are amazed. They marvel at him. Their mouths are closed. They have failed in their attempt to trap the Lord. Now, there's a lot of teaching in this statement that the Lord made. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And that then brings us to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Now, what did the Lord mean by that? If you're living in the Roman Empire and using Roman coinage and using Roman roads and living under the protection of the Roman government, then pay your Roman taxes, whether you like it or not. Now, nobody likes to pay taxes. But if the government under which we live levies taxes, then we are to pay them. In Romans 13, verse 1, we are told to be subject to the governing authorities. In Titus 3, verse 1, we are reminded to be subject to rulers and authorities. So we are to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. You know, a few years ago, I met a Christian man who was not filing his income tax returns. He said that he didn't think it was right under the U.S. Constitution for the U.S. government to collect income taxes. And he wanted to know what I thought. Well, I told him he was disobedient to the Word of God. I told him that whether you think the government is right or wrong in having an income tax, it's illegal not to pay. Now, you don't have to render to Caesar the things that are not Caesar's. If Caesar gives you some legal loopholes, such as tax shelters, etc., well, you don't have to render what Caesar doesn't demand. Well, I don't know whether this Christian man began filing his income tax or not, or maybe he's in prison today, I don't know. But the scripture definitely says we are to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But now suppose Caesar asks you to render something to him that is in direct violation to the Word of God. Well, now that brings us to our second doctrinal point, which is render to God the things that are God's. Render to God the things that are God's. Most likely, our Lord is alluding here to what's written on this denarius, this tribute penny. On the front, around the image of Caesar, it says in Latin, of Tiberius Caesar, the divine Augustus, son of Augustus. And on the reverse, it says in Latin, chief priests. Well, this is an indication, of course, of the imperial cult of emperor worship and the claim of the Roman emperor to deity. All this was part of the Roman pagan religion. So when our Lord says, render to God the things that are God's, he's telling them that they should pay Caesar's tax, but they should not worship Caesar, and they should not attribute divine status to him. In the same way, we are to be subject to Caesar. We pay our taxes, we submit to the governing authorities, but we don't submit and we don't obey if they make a law which says we should no longer be Christians, or after having three children, you must get an abortion, or when your elderly relatives reach 90, they must be brought into a government clinic where active euthanasia will be practiced. No, we don't submit there. We must disobey. Now, we don't shoot the policeman that comes to arrest us. We may have to go to prison. But there does come a point where we don't render to Caesar. We render to God the things that are God's. Now, the examples I just used are clear-cut. But what about the not-so-clear-cut cases? Now, most of us here this evening live in Cook County. Well, did you know a certain percent of our property taxes here in Cook County go to fund the Cook County Hospital? And as you know, the Cook County Hospital is now doing abortions again. So we are indirectly or directly supporting abortion. Now, I don't like this. Neither do you, I hope. But what do you do? Well, you could refuse to pay a certain part of those taxes, or you could move out of Cook County. I would in no way find fault with any Christian who did that. There does come a point where you do not render to Caesar. You render to God the things that are God's. But it's not so easy all the time to sort this out. I guess the point for me would come if there was a specific tax levied by the U.S. government called the abortion tax. I would refuse to pay that. But sometimes the issue is not so clear-cut. But the Lord lays down the basic guideline, namely, you render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but you render to God the things that are God's. Practical application. Let's try to give creative biblical answers to the critic. Let's try to give creative biblical answers to the critic. Now, if you're trying to live for the Lord in your neighborhood, or where you work, or where you go to school, you're bound to get critics asking you questions and trying to put you in a dilemma as they try to put the Lord in a dilemma. I remember back in my college days, a couple of critics of the Christian faith asked me a question. They were trying to put me in a dilemma and make me look like a Christian fool. So they said to me, "Hey, Reed, you're a Christian, right?" "Yes." "You believe in an all-powerful God, right?" "Yes." "Nothing beyond his power, right?" "That's right." Well, then here came the question. "Well, could God create a rock so big that he couldn't lift it?" Now, have you ever heard that question before? Sure, some of you had. Well, they thought, of course, that I had never heard this before, and they had me in a dilemma, because if I said, "No, he couldn't do that," he's not all-powerful. But on the other hand, I said, "Yes, he could create it." "Yeah, but he's not all-powerful because he can't lift it." Well, I had already heard this question. I knew about this trap. I had heard that question back in high school. So I had a ready answer. And I gave him an answer something like this: "God never does anything that denies his character as he has revealed himself in the Bible." Wow, all mouths were closed. Now, usually we don't have answers like that on the tip of our tongue. And certainly we don't have the answers like the Lord gave here. What a tremendous answer the Lord gave in response to this question that they gave, where they're trying to trap him. "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Even the most liberal critic of the Bible has got to admit that Jesus said that for sure, because it's too good not to be true. Well, as I say, usually we don't have these good answers on the tip of our tongues. When we are asked questions by the critic like this, we need to pray. Pray right then for the Lord's help. Many times the Lord will give you an answer on the spot. He does give answers in time of need. Hebrews 4:16, he gives help in time of need, and certainly this would include answers to questions that the critic may ask you. But it doesn't hurt to prepare some answers for the critic ahead of time. After all, we know a lot of questions and issues that the critic will bring up. If you're a Christian seeking to live for the Lord, there's going to be a question that comes up about gay rights. You'll be called a gay basher or homophobe. Well, do you have ready a creative biblical answer? Let's try to give creative biblical answers to the critic. Practical application number two. Let's remember that we are God's coinage. Let's remember that we are God's coinage. The Roman denarius had Caesar's image on it. And the Lord said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." You as a human being have the image of God stamped on you, because man was created in the image of God. Let's remember we're God's coinage. We should render to God the things that are God's. We are God's coinage. We are his property. We are to represent him, and we are to be available to him for his service. Let's remember that we are God's coinage.